I'd like you to imagine in your mind's eye a scene where a man is driving his car along the M8 motorway, when suddenly it loses power and comes to a stop on the hard shoulder. We may well have had that kind of experience. The driver gets out to see what the problem could be. Straight away, he notices that something is wrong. The windscreen is very dirty, covered with the remains of splattered flies. He can deal with this. He gets out his chamois leather, moistens it up with a bit of water, and soon has the screen clear again. He turns the key in the ignition, but no joy. The engine doesn't fire. So he gets out to have another look at the car. He sees something else that's wrong. One of the tires is flat. He checks the handbook to see what the pressure should be. Mind you, he ought to know already anyway. And he pumps it up to the required pressure. Now, that's two things that he's seen and fixed. But when he tries the ignition, the car still won't start. Obviously, what he spotted about the car is very important, but it's not the main problem. What's wrong with the car is the lack of power to drive. Once he realizes that, which took a bit of time, he can actually get things sorted. We can take the same approach as the car driver when we read through Mark chapter 1. It seems to be about healing and prayer. As we take a closer look at this passage, it reveals to us a day in the life of Jesus. And on that day, he taught in the synagogue, he healed Simon's mother-in-law, he carried out evening healings, prayed the following morning, and began traveling throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and healing. Actually, the Bible passage from Mark 1, 29 to 45 is really about the importance of the Word of God. As Jesus says in verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Clearly, Jesus sees what the people needed in their lives was to know God and life in his kingdom. That was the most important thing. Actually, this is a fascinating 24 hours, this really is, in Mark chapter 1. And the day begins with Jesus at worship in the synagogue in his hometown of Capernaum. And there he taught with power and authority. And the local people were mightily impressed. Not the least because suddenly this guy apparently arrives from nowhere preaching God's word. So much so, the people were amazed, we are told. It's rather like somebody that we know, maybe know well or know casually. Suddenly they start doing something that was completely new. We thought, heavens, where did all that come from? And I'm sure that was the reaction here in Capernaum. So Jesus goes with his new disciples. You remember the very first part of Mark's gospel, he calls his disciples. So he goes with these guys now to the synagogue. And from there he goes to Simon and Andrew's house for lunch and to spend the day there. Great, eh? Like a typical kind of Sunday, isn't it, really, in many ways? And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and wasn't able to be their host. I mean, I always think that's an intriguing look into kind of normal life there, that they had no hostess for the day because the mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. It's like, you know, guys never did anything in those days. It was all down to the ladies. So she had to be fit and able to do things to do the hosting. So Jesus comes and heals her, bang, just like that. He just comes in and that's it. I mean, astonishing stuff, isn't it? It really, really is. We tend to meet that situation and think, oh, I'm sorry, you're not too well today. I hope you get better soon. Jesus doesn't bother with all that. He just comes in and heals her. It was astonishing. And no wonder, we're told, news about him spread. You can imagine it. Do you know, did you hear that story? Jesus just went into someone's house and just healed someone, just like that. Incredible. So the story actually in this day in Capernaum gets even more dramatic than that. As soon as the Sabbath was over and people were allowed to carry, you weren't allowed to carry people who weren't well about on the Sabbath. You had to wait until afterwards. So when that was over, the people were able to carry people about, and of course they brought them to Jesus. Surprise, surprise. In the evening of the day, the whole town gathered at the door. Talk about being popular. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. It's all kicking off, you know, to use a modern expression, wasn't it? Perhaps we can picture the scene. People pressing around Jesus, hoping to get his attention for themselves, for a sick friend or a relative. People expected Jesus to do great things, and so he did. And in his response to the needs of the people, he couldn't have made it plainer that sickness and suffering are not part of God's intention for his world. They are enemies and intruders. In the new way of life that Jesus brings, they're not to be put up with. So right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus encourages us to see that we are called to take our place in this new way of life that he's introducing to the people here, and of course, day by day, is introducing to us. In this new way of life, all the resources are available to save and to heal. And we unlock that in prayer. The prayer warriors. I don't know what you think of yourself as a prayer warrior. It's quite a nice phrase, that. I like it. Yeah. But you're committed to prayer. And that's important for us. We need to be committed to prayer. The next morning, Jesus was involved in another equally important, striking and vital activity. Imagine the previous day. It was a long day. It was an exhausting day. Jesus gets up early while it was still dark and went off to a solitary place and prayed. And so it's tempting for us to say, ah, right, I've got it now. Okay, the healing thing's important, but now I see prayer's important too. Because Jesus gets up very early after an exhausting day and he goes away and prays. But that's not really the striking thing. It was that Jesus used prayer as a gateway to making the kind of decisions that he needed to make. A few years ago, there was a BBC Two series which filmed a group of people who went to live in a monastery at Worth Abbey in Sussex. I don't know whether you saw that series. It's quite an interesting programme. And in that experience, these were people who were not people who generally really bothered very much about prayer, but in that experience, they discovered that in emphasising prayer, challenge their self-image, how they thought about themselves, how they related to other people that they loved and that they knew, and how it focused and decided their future. So it's in prayer, as we're quiet before God, it's, you know, in the hurdy-burdy of life, it's actually allowing God a bit of space to come in and speak to us about things that are on our hearts, things that actually God wants us to know about. And the Gospels, of course, tell us that Jesus prayed at times of great temptation and when he had to make a vital decision. And of course, this was exactly the situation in Mark chapter 1. We don't know what Jesus prayed, but we can guess what it might have been from his words in verse 38. Despite the obvious needs that Jesus could see in the people that were coming to him, Jesus saw his key role as bringing in the kingdom of God. And Jesus didn't share the excitement of the disciples at the success of the previous night when so many were healed. Jesus was, but You see the way Jesus has a focus. He doesn't allow himself to get to... You could get distracted into a conversation. Oh, yeah, what a great night, wasn't it? Fantastic. All those people getting healed. No, Jesus doesn't get into that. He's absolutely focused. And you remember when Jesus was in the desert before his ministry began, the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You see, Jesus sees the temptation. Once you start rejoicing in all the fantastic, you begin to get a bit self-centered. You know, you lose your focus. And Jesus sees a temptation here to become a star. You know, you see that very often, unfortunately, in the entertainment business. People become very popular, they become stars, and they begin to lose their focus. You know, the whole razzmatazz of it begins to take over in tragic ways, unfortunately. You know, if you are the Christ, was the temptation, cure all people's troubles, and they will be yours. That's the temptation which Jesus has to resist. And in the time of prayer, he reaffirms, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus could have gone down the route of populism and given people what they thought they needed, because we all think we know what it is we need, but actually Jesus really knows, and he wants to tell us, hence the importance of prayer. What they needed was the word of God. And Jesus' task was to win them to accept God's word and so be saved. Jesus began in preaching in Capernaum, verse 21. And 24 hours later, we find him still focused on his preaching ministry. In fact, he says that's the reason he came. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Verse 38. Right at the beginning of Mark's gospel, in all the events that are going on, that is the reason I've become. To introduce the word of God. That's our basis. We might be involved in all sorts of things, but it is the word of God that is to be our guide. The healing ministry of Jesus was important, and it continued throughout his ministry. He didn't suddenly stop doing it. Said, yeah, and then I said the focus is the word of God, therefore I'm not going to do anything else. He carried on doing it. But his focus was always that. So, the answer isn't to abandon preaching, although I have had that suggested to me several times in the past. You always find that when you come up and take a sermon and someone you meet, oh, I don't know why you bother all this preaching stuff. You know, let's kind of get on with it. Yeah, let's start praying for people and all the rest of it. It's action that counts, not words. It's a bit like something. It's the plumbing that matters, not the water supply, for example. You could have an astonishing mixture of radiators and pipes and so on. If you haven't got a water supply, it's a complete waste of time. You've got to have the basis absolutely right. And the blessing from hearing the good news of God's love for us in Jesus, that's his healing stream that comes from his word. And it's God's love that inspires enthusiasm for the work of healing and prayer. It's from our love of God's word that we go into prayer and healing and other ministries. That's the source. That's the stream from which the river flows. And we go out into various ministries from that. People knew that in Old Testament times. In King Asa's reign, people had long ignored God. I mean, there's a real catalogue. If you read right through the Old Testament, I don't know how many of you read the Old Testament. I've met lots of people who said, yeah, I started it about 5 years ago and I haven't got through it yet. Stick with it. Stick with it. Because this is the scripture that Jesus knew, isn't it? You know, we often think, oh, Jesus, a New Testament. Well, of course, he knew all the Old Testament back to front, I'm quite sure. And in that, we see these things encouraged by the preaching of Azariah. Asa the king brought people back to the word of God. And that is there in 2 Chronicles. Right at the beginning of the Old Testament, you see people being brought back to the Word of God. And you see lots of, if you read the Old Testament, you see the new reflected in it and back. You know, so it's a continuing thread of a story. And in the early church, the boldness, the courage of the believers came from their dependence on God's word. That was the thing that fired them, because they believed God's word and therefore went out and shared it. In Luke chapter 10, Mary listened to Jesus' teaching and annoyed her sister Martha, of course, who was very busy preparing the food. Jesus emphasized the value of his teaching and tells Martha, Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away. Okay, we need to have some food later. The important thing is the word of God. So, our final reflections. Mark chapter 1 presents us with a day in the life of Jesus. And from that day's events, we see that we are called to take our place in the offensive against suffering. All the resources of Christ are available to us, and prayer unlocks those resources and directs us into where it is that God wants us to be and to be his people. And we're called more urgently to be people whose inspiration comes directly from the Word of God. You see, Jesus didn't come to bring us a life now where there'd be no more suffering, no more disease, no more problems, so people could get on with their life without giving any a thought. That wasn't what he really came to do. That would appeal to many, and it might appeal to us well as too. Christ came to bring a message of God's word to a needy world and to win people to a new way of life. And how much we need that now in the kind of world that we currently have, full of uncertainty and worries and problems. But this new way of life is founded on a relationship of love with God. And from that foundation, we're better equipped to deal with our own problems and have some good news to help others in their needs. Amen.